The smartest guys around are about to break it down like they've won the game a million times.
Well, actually, they didn't really win the game at all.
Survivor know-it-alls.
Survivor Know-It-Alls are here after episode 10 of Survivor 46, and are back here Thursday afternoon with Stephen Fishback. Stephen, how are you?
It's a pleasure to be talking to you, Rob, as you begin to pregame for season 50, getting ready to go out there.
Getting ready, got the hand squeezers going.
Oh, yeah.
Got the order in from Amazon. So, what about a stress ball? Will that do the same thing?
I don't know. I mean, maybe that's like the intro. You start with the stress ball, then you get the grip maximizers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes.
Hand squeezers.
Okay. Well, very, very excited to talk with you here today.
Thank you. I'm excited.
That was a really fun episode last night, really interesting episode. And I just, that reaction that we saw from Liz, really, it just reminded me so much of the time that I tried to take you to Applebee's.
Did that happen?
Yes, and you screamed.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
I was like, no! I don't even want to be with you.
No! Yeah. Never!
Danielle or nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, Stephen, how are you doing today?
I'm great. I'm really good. It's a beautiful Tuesday in Washington.
It is a beautiful Tuesday. One of the very nice Tuesdays.
Thursday? What day? I knew it was a day that started with T. I was halfway there. Rob, I got this almost. I narrowed it down so close. Rob, I have a business idea that I want to. If this podcasting thing doesn't work out, or even as a supplement to the podcasting thing, here's what I think we should do. Or we could charge people, all Survivor contestants from the past, they can come to us and they say, I'm going to pay you $100 and you're going to tell me like how viable I am as a returning player.
Oh,
and then we give them the honest truth. We're like, this is a non-starter for you. Don't worry about it. Or like, you're Carolyn, you're on, you need to like start working out now. Or like, you're, I don't know, who's now, a middle, maybe you're a long shot, but like, I do like, so just like, you know, up the number of gyms, you know, start bulking, but like, don't put too many eggs in that basket.
Now,
I feel like we could spare a lot of people a lot of grief. Like Daniel Liu, he's going to come to us and you're going to say, no, Daniel, like, just like move on.
You
know, like Papa Bear, he's going to come and he's going to say, Papa Bear is going to say like, guys, I think this is my shot. Cause I have seen on Facebook so many of these crazies like posting like, oh, this is my
crazies.
Time, my time. So many of these heartfelt
friends of ours,
friends, great people. So full of hope when this is my chance. And it's like, it's most of the people, like the people who actually have a shot are not posting about it. Cause they know.
That's how you know. If you're posting on Facebook, then you say, okay, you know, I'm probably not in the running.
But I want to spare these people heartbreak and I want to take their money. And so I think that if they pay, we could give them the honest truth.
Now, is this sort of like, are we on like a slippery slope to where like Jeff denounces us on the On Fire podcast? It's like an Adam Klein sort of thing.
Yeah. I think Jeff is going to praise us. He's because he doesn't want to hear from these people. He's going to be like, thank you, Rob and Steven, for like, you know, creating a filter between me, you know, and, you know.
I don't know. I think that he likes it. I think he likes having all these people like sitting around waiting for their phone. You know what I thought of the other day? I had a thought of that so many. It's really that somebody should do something about this because there's like 750, 800 people. Do you know how many unlisted and blocked spam calls people are going to pick up in the next year and a half?
When I was in the
like, scam likely, but it might be them.
It's true. Every time like block caller was like, oh my God, this is it. Like my heart would actually accelerate like every single time. That's such a good
No other podcast is going to tell you that. This is why you come to the Know-It-Alls. Yeah, but I love this, and maybe let's privately after we get off the call, the public podcast, I'll have the ChatGPT come up with a list of random names, and we could do the practice round. We'll test it, test the viability of the business.
I think it's, I honestly, it's more about sparing the no chance people heartbreak, because everybody else, they're going to invest in it. But like the people who are like, you know, they're hope, don't hope, don't hope. Hoping is the worst thing you can do.
Well, the other, you know, bad part about this is that, you know, there are a lot of people who feel like, okay, well, I think I got a chance, but what they're forgetting is that these returning player seasons skew very heavily towards the last season that just happened. So there's about four people that are going to like think they're like, oh, I'm on the cusp, that are going to get knocked out from people that haven't even played Survivor yet.
Yeah. Season 49. And as others have tweeted, you know, these next three seasons are going in knowing they're auditioning. Like, it's not like a game to win $1 million. It's an auditioning to get cast on another season.
Yeah. I mean, there was somebody who was probably going to be out there with us on Survivor All-Stars, and then Rupert came along, took somebody's spot.
Well, Heroes versus Villains, I remember, like Shane was, like
oh,
in.
Yes.
I think.
Like, Survivor then, 46 like, superfan.
Yeah. And, like,
Russell Hance.
I mean, and then Russell comes, like, out of nowhere, you know, but, I mean, like, truly, like, and suddenly he's gone. Ozzy was, like, really right there, too, for Heroes Villains. But, like, I do think Shane was, like, for every single season, every single returning player season, like, Shane is, like, the one who's, like, oh, last minute cut. Yeah. And, like, it's been, like, terrible to watch.
I think Troyzan had that Shane. Once. Yeah. And, you know, I think maybe Sean Rector and Kobe, like, there's definitely been a lot of people that are sort of, like, that their bags are packed.
Sean Rector, why they didn't bring him back for All-Stars is one of the great mysteries of my life.
Yeah. Steven, you had a somewhat viral tweet the other day talking about that Survivor players should not get their hopes up, and that there are other things that they should be focusing their time on rather than being so focused on Survivor 50.
Yeah. I mean, listen, I'm all about crushing hopes. That's what I'm trying to do, but in a positive way, in a mentally health positive, beneficial way.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's true. Like when I was going through it, it was miserable. And I did end up getting cast on Cambodia, much to my dismay, thanks to all of you, you know, which I will never forgive you for. But those years, it was like years of like, you know, I was on the sidelines for Heroes versus Villains. I knew I was sidelined. And, you know, like I remember going to like the alumni events at the time, and like, you know, like, and JT and Amanda and, you know, James, they would all run off to a corner, which, like, P.S., not the final three of Heroes versus Villains right there. You know, the people who are pretty, you know, Rupert was in the mix. You know, they would all like huddle off in a corner, and I was like, hey guys, like, good to see you. I would like to be a part of this. And then, you know, but then the subsequent years I would get calls, you know, from the casting department, like, oh, are you available these dates? And I'd be, oh my God, am I available? Yes, I'm available. You know, quit my job, clear my schedule, I'm available. And then you'd never hear from them again. And then, you know, like, as I tweeted, I went basically all the way through Caramo and casting, you know, and Cochran was sitting right there next to me. I'm like, they're not casting both. You know, maybe now they would, if it was modern day Survivor. Yeah. Two nerdy game bots. Why not? Of course. You know, and then obviously it's just like you put so much mental energy into it. And like most people aren't cast, and pre-gaming is really questionable. I think everyone has this idea that like it's actually beneficial, but I was hurt most in Cambodia by the person I thought I had the deepest relationship with, and the people who were my allies I never even spoke to. You know, it's like you lose pregaming makes you lose sight of the, and you do hear stories about, you know, this person only got X far because of a pregame relationship, but those are like honestly outliers. And I really think that so many people are hurt by their pregame relationships because you lose sight of the game, and you're caught in this thing you agreed to back before a single minute was filmed.
Yeah. I mean, other than appearing on very popular Survivor podcasts, there's not a lot that you can do to really up your chances to go back. I mean, to borrow a little bit from Kenzie last night, Survivor is kind of like a not so great boyfriend who's really not that into you. And you can sit by the phone, like, what are they thinking? Are they going to write me back? Like, hey, like, just thinking of you up. Like, and then, you know, they're going to like send you a text and you jump, and they know they got you like that. And so the only thing you can do is, you know, make yourself the best version of you and do it for you. And if that helps you have a better chance to get on the show, great. And if not, you still have whatever gains you've made in your personal life because you might have had that extra motivation to go to the gym a couple more days a week.
Yeah, right, exactly. Yeah, that's very true. That's true. And ultimately, like, again, like, people think like, I've got to get in the Alliance now, like a year, you know, don't be in the Alliance a year before. I mean, I you know, you can get burned that way too.
I mean,
there was like people screenshot things and like send them along.
The more number ones you have, the more people that are trying to get rid of you. Right.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Yeah. This day. Yeah. My gosh. That's the meta is to vote out your
need
number
one. Need more allies so I can vote them all out. So the jury likes me. People are pre-gaming the jury.
That's a great line.
Okay. All right. Well, let's talk a little bit about this episode last night. Let me get your reaction about this because we haven't had the chance to talk about it yet. How are you feeling from last night's episode?
So great. This season has become so fun. I think everyone feels that way. I'm a season 45 diehard, but I think this is just
we don't need to crap on 45 to say that this season's good.
It's great. It's so fun. And last night's episode was just wonderful. I mean, you know, that Liz moment is maybe, you know, we always use superlatives here, but maybe maybe the most iconic moment, I think. I feel like it could be the most iconic moment of the new era in terms of just like pure human survivorness, you know?
I was thinking of the line that Jeff had really tried to make happen back in The Edge of Extinction when the people come in from The Edge of Extinction and Jeff is like, sometimes a survivor moment is instantly iconic. And sometimes it takes a while, but this is going to be, and nobody cared about that moment whatsoever. But this, I do believe, was instantly iconic. I think that this is going to be a moment like 5 years from now, 10 years from now, people are going to be talking about that there was a woman. The only thing she could eat, she was allergic to every food except for Applebee's hamburger. And then they had it as a reward, and the guy won it, and he kept picking people, not her.
I mean, that scream is definitely going to be used in like future. That's like the Eric Reichenbach, you know, they're going back to that. This is not the last time we see that scream. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, such a great moment. I have an early question for you. Allie Lasher had asked, are you surprised Tiff, Maria, or Kenzie didn't try to give up their spot to Liz? Have you seen from any of the exit press today? Tiffany told the story of actually both Kenzie and Maria said, I want to give my spot up to Liz. And Q said, no, it's my reward. Yeah. I said, no, Liz.
Yeah. He chose. Liz voted for him. And he was like, no. I mean, which is like, you wonder why they didn't include that, because I almost think it's like too over the top. You know, it's like too villainous for him to do that.
Is he irredeemable at that point?
Right. Exactly. Yeah. Or you're like, okay, that guy. And maybe even, you know, in my conspiracy oriented brain, like they want to protect him because they're bringing him back for 50 and they don't want him to look like too big a villain, but that's maybe
he'd be more beloved, I think, by some. And no, it would have been even great, but I don't maybe you didn't need it. It was so great on its own, and such an amazing moment. The fact that even on the last one, he kind of had like a little bit of a fake out of like, well, you know, Liz, she really hasn't eaten for all this time, but Kenzie, we've been together this whole time. So I gotta bring the group back together.
It's amazing because like you have this moment, this primal scream, and then you have, I mean, just like his complete, you know, resistance to being swayed by it. And that's what makes it, right? It's the Q of it too. I mean, obviously it's the Liz of it, but like it only happens because Q is just so completely himself, right? He's not he's not gonna be swayed by someone begging or crying or other people begging and crying. You know, he's like, this is my choice and this is what I'm gonna do.
Now, for Q's choice though, do you think that not taking Liz was the right choice? I know that that he is under no obligation to take, and I'm not even saying like, shouldn't he be a nice guy? I'm saying strategically, would it have been a good call to take Liz to be the fourth person instead of Kenzie?
I mean, the fact that she voted against him, like why on earth?
So did Kenzie.
Well, right. But Kenzie was formerly his ally and, you know, they have history and like that, there's like more there. Whereas with Liz, like they don't have history. She didn't, you know, they've got no relationship. Is there a world where they build a relationship through this? It doesn't seem like, I mean, Liz just was like, I need this. I deserve that. I mean, she didn't say I deserve this. She said, I need this. You know, she was begging for it. Like, is she going to, you know, she's not going to like think of it as a positive strategic move. She's just going to happily eat. I mean, to be fair, the people who went also did not think of it as a positive strategic move.
Yeah.
But you also like create such it's less about Liz than it is about the overall perception of him, right? Mm-hmm. You then have like Ben be like, that was such a low thing. Everyone is sort of like, that's such a low thing. Ultimately, the jury votes for who they want the most or who they like the most, right? To a certain degree. And some of that is guided by who they think played the best game. I kind of think the right move would have been to take Liz. What do you think?
Yeah, I think that Liz, it could, and again, we have perfect maybe perfect 2020 hindsight that we know that Kenzie and Tiffany both nothing changed by him taking them to the sanctuary. I feel like that maybe there was an opportunity to potentially, not that Liz would have felt like she owed him one. We've seen in the past where, go back to the Edge of Extinction again, where Ron Clark takes Gavin on the family visit because Gavin, you know, did he miss his wedding or he just got married right before he left and he got the chance.
He scheduled his wedding? Yeah. I don't know.
And that Ron Clark felt like, all right, well, I'm going to do this for Gavin. And that's really going to, and Gavin was like, now I really got to vote out Ron Clark.
Exactly. And I can't owe anybody anything. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So it definitely can backfire. It just seemed like another, I feel like that if you had Tiffany, not to say that Tiffany and Kenzie are a monolith, but it felt like that he could have maybe diversified the portfolio a little bit of, okay, let me, get in good with Tiffany. She can work on Kenzie. And then maybe I have an opportunity to get in good with Liz. Because even though Liz did vote for him, I don't think that he necessarily even understood why Liz is so angry with him, that Liz is mad at him for saying he wanted to quit and taking the luster off of her move to blindside Tevin. Like, how does he even know any of that? So right. That, and from his perspective, that they were all on the bottom, him and Hunter and Liz, like they were all people that weren't part of that vote split. So it felt like what is Q's path other than, I guess, get the gang back together. But yeah, that's his prerogative.
And obviously, just to clarify, like I've seen, you know, online, a lot of people were like, oh, Liz is so entitled. How outrageous of her. Like, this was just a human moment. Like she was begging for it. She let out a lot of rage. And then immediately afterwards, she was like, you know what? Like, thank you for giving me my moment. She like, honestly, like, I was most surprised by how quickly she collected herself. Like, yeah. You know, to feel that rage, to like let it out and then be like, you know, apologizing for it, like, which she definitely did not need to do.
Yeah, not for anything. How many of those people are also, what's the Venn diagram of people that complained about Liz last night and then also people that complained that Jeff Probst said no more villains on Survivor? Now, are they saying that I like the villain cue, I didn't like Liz's reaction to the villain?
Exactly.
You know, they're like, let's take it easy. Like, can we have just a little fun? Right. Can we have a little fun?
You know, that's what the internet is for.
Yeah. Stephen, last night, I talked with James Jones. We had a very fun podcast breaking it all down. And I gave my case for why I thought Liz had, there was a better move available to Liz. And I'd love to run it past you to see what you think of this.
Okay.
And I don't know how you feel about what Liz decided. But my move for Liz should have been that Liz had seemingly all of the information, including that they're trying to blindside Tiffany, who has an idol, and we need your vote, Liz, and I'm sorry, we can't do what you want, which is take out Q, because you're looking for a big move, but I'm sorry, it's not going to happen today, but will you please jump on board to help us get rid of Tiffany? Where Liz could have gone to that tribal council, knowing where the votes were going, and after the votes were cast, stand up, tell Tiffany, the three Sigas and Q have all voted for you, Tiffany, play your idol right now, or you're about to be voted out. Tiffany stands up, plays her idol, Q goes home, and it's Liz's move.
So I, Omar actually tweeted the same thing. And I think that
I said it first. I believe that.
But I think Omar tweeted it first. Maybe he like wrote it with his finger. You said it.
Yeah.
You read it from him. And then, no, I believe that you guys both came, because it is a really good idea. And you're both absolutely brilliant at the game. So I believe that you two, it was like, it's like all great inventions have multiple inventors at the same time.
Yes. Right?
The telephone was TV. You
but
know,
all bad ideas are bastards.
I mean, first of all, let's talk through it before we pronounce judgment. Like, what happens when she goes back? Like, she goes back, Tiffany is super grateful to her. Kenzie is grateful to her. And
Venus is happy, I think.
Venus is happy, but Maria's really pissed.
Yep.
Charlie's really pissed.
Ben is pissed.
Ben is really pissed. So suddenly she's created this group of four that she's with Or are they like, can Tiffany, you know, but if that happens, does Tiffany not have to get her out?
I still think Maria is the next target after the attempted coup. Right. I mean, it's not like, while Liz is making a big move and certainly has raised her threat level, I still do not think that she would rise to the top threat to get out next week. I still think that now with Charlie and Maria being in the minority of people that voted against Tiffany, then I think that one of those two are definitely going home at the next tribal council.
Yeah, I agree with you, and I think that would have been an amazing move. That would have been so awesome. And it's like you have so. It's not even just the knowing where the votes are going. It's this opportunity to perform in front of the jury, which I do think like everybody needs to be thinking about very seriously because you never get the chance to show your game like you do to the jury who are determining who wins, like you do at a tribal council. Like, you know, Jeff can be like, "Oh, you did great at the challenge today." You know, that doesn't translate. Nobody cares.
Yeah,
they like the theatrics.
And just what a button it would have been on this whole episode where Liz did not get picked to go to Applebee's from Q. They all saw that he said, no, under no circumstances are you going to Applebee's. And she could stand up and be the one person. It would be more impressive than if she played her own idol, I think. The way that if she like convinced Tiffany to play her idol and save Tiffany and then outed the plot and that and then basically say, Q, you're going home. And then it would just have been such beautiful poetry. And going back to last week where that I don't think that it would have worked as well for Kenzie to have done it so publicly, but I have said that I thought that, you know, Kenzie would have benefited from Hunter playing his idol. And I just wonder if this could be like a new avenue for strategy for players of, okay, I know the blind side is coming to the person who's has the idol, and I will then tell that person to play the idol to then get the votes to where I want them to go.
Yeah. And I mean, I think the difference between last week where it did look like basically everyone was in on that Hunter blind side.
Yeah, six
other
people.
Than Liz and Q, where, you know, so Kenzie would have to go back to camp and like, everyone is mad at her, and you know the people who she really who trusted her and she really trusted were really mad at her. Whereas Liz has been left out, so Liz has less to lose, right? Like, okay, like Charlie and Maria are mad at me. Well, Charlie and Maria weren't working with me yesterday, you know. So what do I have? You know, they've like pulled me in for this one vote because it serves them tactically, but they're not my allies. And I do think that Liz, you know, it would serve her so well. It's too bad.
Yeah. Let's talk a little bit about Tiffany as she's out of the game. What were your thoughts on this run that Tiffany had this season?
Yeah, very fun player. I mean, like probably, you know, probably the most important, the dominant player on Yanu. I mean, obviously Q is such a big character on Yanu too. But like, you know, she seemed to be the, you know, the connect Kenzie and Q with her, you know, and really kind of be the center pin of that whole alliance.
Yeah.
You know, played aggressively, very like smart, like, you know, was very fun to watch. I mean, where's she when she comes to us with her $100? What are we telling her? I think she's, you know, strong maybe, right?
Yeah, I think that Tiffany is definitely in the maybe comment. Like, I don't think that she's a sure thing to go back, but I think that she's definitely somebody that the audience responded favorably to. And I think that she's like, I think she's probably like a better player. Like, I think if she played again, like, I think that she would be like a good winner. She was my winner pick this time. She'd be a really good winner pick, I would think, in season 50. Like, I think she has a better chance to win season 50 than she does necessarily to make season 50.
Oh, that's interesting. Yeah, I think she's very competitive for.
I mean, that's again, probably like, not right if you did the probability on that. But I feel like that, like I would really like her. She'd be one of I think the top candidates to win season 50 if she was on the cast. I'm not sure if she's going to ultimately get there.
And she's probably not getting voted out in this spot if her idol had not been you know revealed. And like again, I mean, similarly to Hunter, like. She was in a great spot. I mean, more than Hunter, really. You know, the Yanu 3 was like in a wonderful spot with her, Q, and Kenzie. You know, both the other tribes like wanted to work with them, and it was very much like, you know, other trios that we've seen in the past were like able to kind of like go back and forth between the alliances. You know, Q had this other secret alliance, and like truly, like if you had not just like destroyed the whole edifice that he built, Tiffany would be absolutely have been competitive to win this season.
Yeah. Q really was at the center of like everything bad that happened to her.
Yeah. I mean, and it's like if she had kept Banu and voted out Q, she would have been in a better spot this season.
Wow.
Yeah.
Did they talk about that? Did they ever talk about voting out Q in the early days?
No, because it seemed like it was like whether or not they're going to vote out, you know, Kenzie. I mean, but nobody seemed to be targeting Q, right? Did Jess target? I mean, like, oh, Kenzie kind of talked about it a little bit, right? Like maybe we go for Q.
Yeah, Kenzie talked about it, but she also in true Q fashion said it was a little bit of a test that she just wanted to see what Kenzie and Banu wanted to do. But I mean, really going back to like to follow this Tiffany and Q relationship, that Tiffany said way back when, vote out Jess, not Jelinski. She listened to Q. Q said, vote out Jelinski. And maybe if, you know, Jelinski is in the mix, that like I don't think that Tiffany ever votes out Q pre-merge, but it definitely changes up the equation a little bit for the rest of the game. You know, Q ends up making this six, and could just on paper, the six was a great alliance. Like if it worked, it would have been spectacular. Tevin talked to me about this in the exit interview of Q built this alliance with players who had an extra vote. And the other two hidden immunity idols were all consolidated in the six. But we get there, and I guess because of like potentially this unlucky draw, they didn't have anywhere to put the votes, and they end up going after Tim after he throws Hunter's name out there. And maybe because if Tim would have bought in, maybe it would have been a different story. But because Tiffany saw Tim go out, she thinks it's okay to say, okay, Maria should go out. And then that's a red line for Q as well.
Right. It was total Q-nessy.
That's a new one.
Yeah. Is that good? Was that new?
Yeah.
Can't believe it.
But your cameo from Q really also went viral last week.
Yeah, it was a fun, he's amazing. He gives great cameos, right? I mean, mm-hmm. My God. Anyway, so, yeah, like, and even just what prompted that was so bonkers, because literally she was like a survivor. Everyone's throwing each other's names out, and especially to the person you've been with this whole time, you think like, okay, let's talk about things. Let's we're bouncing ideas off of each other, you know? And the idea that he couldn't even say Maria's name without suddenly having this, you know, alliance that lasted the whole season be destroyed is. Yeah.
Him and Maria crazy. Have really had a thing this season. It seems like that they've had like sort of this instant connection, and Maria was the one person who really feels like that she can still trust Q. Like that's been an interesting relationship to track. I want to go back to Tiffany and her idol. That do you feel like in that scenario that there was like some survivor rule that should have told Tiffany to play her idol?
I mean, it's the exact same thing as happened with Hunter, right? Like, he's so sure that everybody is fixated on Q that suddenly you're thinking, like, if I can hold on to this one more tribal council, like, that's the danger of advantages. We talk about it all the time. You know, like, you start to project ahead. Any advantage that people know about, you got to get rid of it as soon as possible.
Yeah.
I mean, truly.
I mean, the Hunter thing was so much, and I have to thank Hunter, who, like, I was really caught up last week of trying to figure out the split vote. Hunter explained it in the comments of exactly how it all worked. But that was just going to be, like, a one vote margin that Hunter. So Hunter was really living dangerously. In Tiffany's mind, I don't think that she was living dangerously in that. I don't think she thought that it was going to be a 5-3 vote. I think she thought it was going to be a 7-1 vote against Q.
Yeah.
And you don't want to just play your idol at any tribal council. But it seems like that there was just an overconfidence there of like, okay, this is too easy. I think that's like the big red flag when you see people are not scrambling super hard.
Right. When everything seems super straightforward and it's all locked up and nobody like something is going, something is happening, you know? Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely the case. Like if you feel like it's like, wow, I mean, that's not, So, or if you feel like, or if you feel like it's not easy enough and everything is wrong, then, you know, be on your lookout then too.
Yeah. I think Tyson had talked about that in Winners at War, where that he thought it was too easy of what the vote was going to be in that spot.
And it was him.
Yeah. And it ends up being him and all the votes were on him. Okay. Steven, I want to bring up a tweet of yours from, don't worry, it's nothing controversial, okay?
I can't imagine that I would ever tweet something controversial.
All right. You said looking forward, okay? You were talking about what's going to happen next, okay?
Yeah.
One of three survivor possibilities next week. One, Charlie is the obvious next target.
Right? He's won two immunities. He's got to be considered the biggest.
I want to talk this through.
Two, let's do it.
Charlie wins immunity, bounces onto Maria. Three, they finally vote out Q. What do you think? Something else? I'm split on one and two, depending on immunity. Kind of think it's two. Maria going home. So you think that Charlie is going to win immunity again and Maria goes home?
I do think it's the likeliest possibility is that either Charlie or Maria goes home.
Maybe. Yes, but I'm interested to know why you feel like that it's Charlie who is the big, honking, flashing target to get out next over Maria, because I kind of feel like that Maria is seen as the bigger target to go after.
Because Charlie keeps winning immunities, and I don't think Maria has that danger. I think, you know, if Charlie's won two immunities in a row, he beat Hunter for immunity. You know, I think you're looking at the end game, you think, I've got to get this guy out now. Like, he could easily beat the rest of us for the rest of the season, especially because you're looking around at, like, you know, a lot of the big stronger players are gone. So I think that to me, Charlie would be the obvious next target because you want people who can't win immunities left so you can vote them out later. And he's like part of this duo with Maria. He's extremely well liked. Maria like has this big move. I do think she could be an obvious next target too. But I would save Maria for the next vote, like personally. So I'm not as worried about her winning immunity.
Friend of the podcast, AJ Mass, and I used to go through all of the different, the 12 character types of people that you have in every Survivor season. And mm-hmm. there used to be always two people. There was the marriage of convenience. And in the marriage of convenience, there was sort of like an alpha and a beta. So the person who was the leader and the person who was seen as sort of like the second in command. Don't want to bring up anything, that could be triggering.
I'm the alpha. I get it.
Yeah. Yes. So I just think that if I don't know for like how these two are perceived, but I think even though Charlie has won these two immunity challenges back to back and took Hunter to the brink in the one before that, I still feel like that the other players are going to look at Maria as the bigger mm-hmm. target, even if Charlie is not immune.
Yeah, that's interesting. I they're both threats. They're both like, they're both pulling big moves. They're both bouncing back and forth. One of them, you know, I may not have another chance to get out. So I'm going to get out the one who I can get out. But I hear you, Maria gets like total credit for this move. You know, everyone saw her kind of like going to Q and like kind of recruiting him. And so I think either of those is possible. I mean, maybe Maria's a little less liked too, right? Yeah. Like where like she's got tension with Venus. We saw that.
Well, I think Charlie is really, really good socially. Tiffany talked about this in a lot of her exit press talked about this with I think Dalton Ross had asked her, is there anything else that you didn't get to see? And she talked about how her and Charlie were actually very close. And she was talked about how she was planning on saving the idol to try to, like, Charlie would talk to her about making a move against Maria, really selling her on, I need to get rid of my number one plan. And so I think that Charlie may have more relationships. It's interesting of like out of this five that's left. Okay. So Ben, Kenzie, Q, Venus, and Liz, like, is there a group of those people? It's kind of like a disparate five that have not that much connecting them. Could they get together and vote out Charlie or Maria?
Yeah. Well, that's the other thing. I mean, there's a world where the Sega 3 are the final three. Like, I actually think that's an unlikely world. Mm-hmm. But I mean, you know, episode one, we said Maria wins the game. I am not out on that possibility. I think Maria is very likely.
This was
to go
a
home
big bounce back week for Maria. Maria, I mean,
obviously, like we have seen, especially in New Era seasons, as soon as, you know, the tall poppy, you know, thing happens so quickly, you know, it's like every person I give a fishy to is out the next week, mm-hmm. you know, like last season with Kelly, you know, she's got her big move and then she's gone. And I really do see that as possible, as very likely for Maria,
mm-hmm.
but I'm not out on her as a winner. I'm not totally out on her as a winner.
Yeah. But do you feel like, is there a group that you could put together? Because what's so interesting about the positioning of Charlie and Maria.
Right. Q is not going to vote out Maria, right?
Well, also that to put a group together, okay? So hypothetically, let's say we need four. I mean, what's the four going to be? Yes, we saw Liz and Q vote together on this vote. But like, are Q and Kenzie going to work together on a vote? Right, could it potentially be Liz, Venus, Kenzie, Ben, that Ben turns on Sega and they don't work with Q?
I think you're missing the obvious one, Rob.
What is it?
What is the most important thing to do as a Survivor contestant?
So you feel like that Charlie or Maria needs to turn on their number one, and then...
That was the joke I was saying. I don't know. I don't think Charlie would do that. I don't think Maria would. Maria might do that. I don't know if Charlie would do that.
See, I think that Charlie would be the one who would need to do that.
He is the one who needs to do that.
Yes, Maria could sit... Like, I just feel like, and this, that... I'm just drawing this from my speculation. I feel like if Charlie and Maria sat at the end of the game, even if Charlie has won two or three immunity challenges, I think that the jury will award Maria the win. And I think that Charlie might be the person who's more aware of, I need to take out my number one.
But if everybody has the best or better relationship with Charlie, and he does have these immunity wins, which again, juries typically do not care about immunity wins. However, they will grasp onto any straw in order to justify them voting who they want for. If Charlie has the better relationships, won't people vote for Charlie?
I think it's close, and I could see that Charlie feeling like, I need to do this to be able to cement my win, because I feel like that Maria does have good relationships with Q and with Tevin, right, and maybe with Soda, you know. So
with Tiffany, so you know.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, sorry, Maria. I'm sorry.
I think it's a toss up for Charlie and Maria, and Charlie may want to like really cement the win. I mean, this is a guy who did 2 years of what do you call it? Grip press because he didn't want to leave anything to chance.
Yeah, yeah, and it paid off. How cool to like train super hard for one specific thing and have that specific thing be what wins you an immunity and helps you orchestrate a big plan. Like, how cool?
Yeah.
It's interesting. It is interesting. I could really see. I mean, there's also a world, which I think is a very possible world for next week, where they're just like, okay, enough with the Q stuff. Like, we just got to get rid of him. And especially if you are Charlie Maria and you do still want to work together, and you know, you see this sort of like ragtag group of Venus and Liz and Kenzie, you know, you're like, Q is causing a lot of chaos and we just need to get rid of Quim.
Yes. I was like, are you okay? Okay. And then I got it. So tell me about Kenzie after tonight. Do you feel like that things are looking bleak for Kenzie, or do you think that there is still a good path for her to the end?
So I actually think, in a way, like if she had been the one to take out Tiffany, I think that would have been like much worse than what happened to her tonight, right? Because if she took out Tiffany, first of all, she's lost her best ally. Second of all, she's seemed to have just pulled off a big move. And third of all, she is someone who's super pissed at her on the jury, because I do believe, like, I don't think Tiffany is going to, you know, Cody allegedly, like, you know, would have awarded Jesse that, you know, who knows about the bro politics there. But like, I think most people, if they were turned on by their best ally, I think that's like an instant anti-vote. You know, like, not only are they not voting for you, but they're like rallying votes against you. So I think that is, you know, being left out of the vote and losing her best ally, suddenly, you know, she's not dangerous anymore. Like, you know, and so I actually think her threat level diminishes to the point where maybe this is actually a really good move for her. You know, and she was like gawking theatrically, like, how could this happen? Probably not the best move in front of the jury, but could be good for her game chances.
Yeah.
What do you think?
Yeah, I don't think that she will be the next target. So I do think that she's going to have the ability to sort of rally. I wonder if we do see ever a point where, does she have a vendetta against Q after this? Does she try to like rally people to follow and try to go? Does she have to work with Q? I mean, it's just so interesting that you have Kenzie and Q and Liz and Venus, and all three of them do not want to work with Q, but yeah, some combination of them will have to work with Q if they want to break up the Charlie and Maria thing.
Right. Which, you know, but yeah. So it'll also be
Ben hates Q. Also, that I believe Tiffany was telling Dalton Ross that Q and Ben had a very bad relationship. That they did not get along at all. And you saw a little bit of that, how Ben felt about Q. And so, like, it may well be just next week if there isn't a shot on Charlie or Maria that your third scenario ends up coming through where they finally say, okay, enough is enough with Q.
Yeah. I really, if I'm Charlie Maria, like that would be a sensible vote, you know, because this is someone who upends everybody's plan. Like nobody, he's creates, like, you know, if you're in a position of playing a controlling game, which is what they are doing, you don't want like the biggest agent of chaos there who can totally screw everything up. Right.
Yeah.
Especially as you get so close to the finals.
Now, can I make any sort of like a parallel? Do you see this at all? Okay, so all right. If we have this pair in Charlie and Maria, who's working with this very enigmatic character in Q, okay? Is this in any way, are there any parallels here with you and JT having Coach around? And at what point do you then cut the cord on Coach?
Well, I do think Q is such like a sui generis character. Like he is truly, you know, unique, like I can't, the way, because he's not like a Russell or a Tony, right, where he's like some like devious mastermind, although he did seem to be that way for a bit, but you know, he so much defines what's happening around him. He is playing a somewhat strategic game, but at other times he does things that are completely not strategic. But if anything, it's like, regardless of whether it's strategy or not, he is like completely setting the tone for everything. He's a smokescreen for, you know, multiple votes. I think Coach is not a terrible parallel in that I can't think of a better one.
Yeah.
But you know, Coach was more predictable, yes, I think, than Q is. And I think that's the big difference, where Coach had his like stated code, and obviously he would be a hypocrite about that code when convenient, but he wasn't like off the wall.
But like, was he ever a smokescreen for like, okay, what his antics were a smokescreen for what you and JT, I mean, were trying to do?
Tyson was a smokescreen, right? Like Ty, because like Tyson was so, you know, was so chaotic that or so villainous that like, you know, people, or I guess Sierra was the smokescreen for the Tyson vote. Never mind. Sierra was a smokescreen. Let me
Sierra's smokescreen. Okay. Yeah. I wanted to ask you something. So Thursdays, I always listen to Jeff on the On Fire podcast. Yeah. Jeff told an anecdote this morning that I wanted to ask you about. That Jeff was talking about how, like, you know, basically the conditions and things that happen at Tribal Council. And he told a story about...
Was this the first Tribal in Token Chains?
I don't know. That he talked about how in Survivor, in Token Chains, he says it was a very hard shoot, hard for the players, hard for the cast, that Jeff talked about being attacked by swarms of insects. Is this what you're referring to?
Yeah, it was the first Tribal Council. It was the Carolina Tribal Council. And like, you know, we don't know. Like, this is just normal for us. Like, this is the first ever Tribal Council. We got nothing to compare to. But like, you know, we're going back and forth. I mean, I remember it like quite vividly. Like, there was a lot going on at that Tribal Council. You know, like people talking about who's wearing whose boots or who's wearing whose shirts, you know?
Yeah.
But, you know, at some point Jeff was like, okay, I've never done this before, but like, enough. That's it. Like, I can't with these bugs. It's time to vote. And like, I think afterwards they got like a deep bomb or something, because I think they tried to clear it out of bugs. Is that what he said?
He said that the bugs were coming and they were only bothering him. They were only swarm of bugs was only attacking him. And they thought that maybe there was some sort of like cosmetic product that he was using that was attracting the swarm of insects that were going to his position.
The flies, like the sand fleas in Token Chains, were horrific. Like truly like the worst environmental. Well, I mean, I've only been in two locations, but I mean, they were so bad. It was crazy. And if they were like, if you were in a place where they were really coming for you, you know, you better get ready, you know, mm-hmm. They're coming.
You better get ready.
Yeah. Don't put on your, you know, your hair product pomade that day.
Steven, all right, let me ask you I've got some questions from the audience. And of course, if you have them in the chat, go ahead and send them our way. We didn't talk about the rice negotiation part two.
Oh, yeah.
What'd you think about Liz getting the opportunity to get her own jar of rice?
Right. And that did seem like, I kind of liked it. I mean, you know, starvation is fun, you know, to a certain degree, but like, it's not like you don't want to see someone like completely reduced, you know, in that way. It's like, they're not giving her a bucket of rice. It's like this little mason jar, yeah. You know? I mean, it's like a couple of meals.
We didn't get to see the execution of Liz's jar of rice that I do see it being like a point of contention in the tribe when, like, could you imagine? Like, okay, yeah, you went to Applebee's 2 days ago, but it's not like, okay, if you don't have dinner tonight, yeah, oh, you had breakfast and lunch. It's not like you're not going to be hungry. And so that... For don't you think that's going to be like an issue in the tribe when Liz is like making her own bowl of rice that everybody else isn't going to be like coming around like, hey, can I get a bite? Can I get a bite?
Just a spoonful. Maybe it's like part of the, you know, part of the deal that she's not allowed to share it. It's like, you know,
could you vote Liz out and keep her rice? Oh, wow. Would that make Liz a bigger target?
That would be a very funny. That's very funny. Honestly, people have voted people out for less. It's interesting.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm sure they're going to be gracious about it. It seems like overall, like they're a pretty gracious group of people to each other.
Yeah. Doc says in the chat, they can eat the coconuts. Sure. You're making it sound like it's all rational, logical people. But when you're like out there, this is what going to be day 20. It's people lose their minds.
Yeah. Yeah. I was surprised that more people didn't like, I was surprised Venus didn't step off that one, like a forearm challenge.
Venus is feisty. Venus does not want to sit out of any of these challenges.
Brawn tribe.
Put her on the Brawn tribe for season
50. She's like Alicia.
Yeah. Kenzie was up for sitting out. I think that Kenzie felt like, okay, I don't have a chance to win this, but like, I'm really just trying to like sit out for Liz.
Yeah. I'm just a nice person.
Yeah.
Speaking of Kenzie, I do want to say, you know, her thing about, I have to vote out my best ally. That's what we do. First of all, I think superficially and maybe beyond superficially, that's not a great strategy. Although as you get down in numbers, it becomes a better strategy. But if that's the meta, then that's the right thing to do, right? Like if the overall meta for the game is, well, we award the people who turn on their allies first, then you have to turn on your ally first. You know, it becomes a good move simply because the players say it's a good move.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But was it too early for, and again, Kenzie was not trying to blindside her ally this week. I guess where I was confused with Kenzie was why was it a good move last time and not a good move now?
Right. Well, I mean, she never like took it past the planning phase. Right. And I think maybe it was like a good move to like talk about and toy with, but not one she actually wanted to like pull the trigger on.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Let's take some more questions from the audience. Okay. How about James Scoville wants to know, shouldn't Tiffany have been tipped off she was in trouble when Charlie fought so hard to outlast her in the immunity challenge?
I don't think so. People fight hard to win immunity and like for good reason. You know, I mean, like people want to win immunity so that they're not voted out.
I guess you could say the opposite of like, should Charlie have been tipped off that Tiffany was trying so hard to win immunity?
Right. Yeah. I think people fight, you know, the best to win immunity. I don't think, if anything, people like fight too hard to win immunity. Like, people really care about it, you know, but I think it's normal.
Okay. All right. Samantha says, did Liz ever explain to others how Q ruined her game? I know she told viewers in confessionals, but I don't recall her talking to anyone else about it.
I assume that like that has come up, right? Like otherwise it's like too, I assume she's like mentioned to people. You know? Seems like it's on top of mind for her.
Yeah. I think that it probably came up in other people's conversations about why she was so dead set for voting Q at the last vote. Like nobody was talking to her about any other plans other than voting against Q. So I don't think she might've been keeping it like the biggest state secret.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Then Lori Delgado wants to know, what is Steven's favorite Applebee's dish?
So many I can't choose. How could I choose one? It's like choosing between your children.
Okay. Aaron asks
that us, burger looked good though. I honestly I want to go to Applebee's and get that burger now. Yeah. That looked real good.
My kids were like, Dad, well, we should go to Applebee's. So it was a great Applebee's commercial. Do you feel like that Liz got to the number one spot for the Sia money last night?
I don't know. Who knows? No. I mean, people were saying Banu.
I mean, we said Banu for a long time, but Banu, you know.
I never said Banu.
I said Banu.
You said Banu. I never
thought. You know me. I get caught up in the moment. But okay, now I'm really feeling who's getting it?
Yeah. I mean, we need to see how Ben's story plays out. I can imagine a version of Ben's story ends
especially
badly.
He has the music connection.
Yeah. you know, I could see her loving Tiffany. You know, Jelinski, obviously.
Jelinski. Imagine Jelinski gets Sia money and not Bonu. Yeah. But I mean, Sia has done typically
Liz makes sense.
The big prize, and then and I guess we have to see how these stories end up, and then like two smaller prizes. So I feel like that Ben is interesting for a smaller prize.
Yeah.
And I guess we have to see what happens, like how the rest of Liz's story goes.
Yeah, I do think Liz is competitive for that. I mean, honestly, like Charlie, if he comes up short, you know, like she loved Jesse.
Yeah.
You know, Jesse's personal story obviously is a little bit more, you know, deeply impactful than what we've seen from Charlie's.
Yeah. Also, I think that Kenzie is still a potential person who I think Sia could be a fan of.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we just need to see how it plays out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I feel like that Kenzie, while she is not like a Carolyn too much, like in personality, but I kind of feel like the vibe is a little bit like of, you know, Carolyn-esque, which Sia, like said, Carolyn was her favorite player all time. So I do feel like that.
Of all time?
Yes. Yes.
Wow.
So I do think that there's maybe some synergy there where she likes, she's a big Kenzie fan.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Aaron asked us, I'd love to hear you and Steven break down how Q could win at Final Tribal Council. I feel like the show is trying to trick us into thinking he would get no votes. We've seen Tony surmount the odds twice. Gabler, Bob, Fabio, they've all won the game. Why can't Q win his game? Fess up his missteps?
Yeah. No, it's like too much. People don't like him. They think he like played it badly. They think he, you know, the wanting to quit thing, you know, basically is I think probably to say I want to quit the game. I don't think anyone is awarding him the money. I can't even imagine. Like, people really dislike Venus, it seems like. Who's the, is there another person that they don't like enough? It's like, if he can be there with people they hate enough, and I don't know if there's that person that's left on the board.
I do feel like that most of the people who disliked Venus, the Nami tribe, are no longer there. Unfortunately, well, for Venus, they're on the jury. But the people, like, I feel like that, like, in speaking with Tiffany today, that she said she felt like that, you know, Venus was just kind of having a hard time. I think that Ben likes Venus. So I do think that, you know, there are people who
we're talking
about
the jurors, though.
Yes. Yeah.
Because we're talking about who's voting for her to win.
Yeah.
And I think that
those first three jurors are going to be tough for her. She basically would have to sweep the rest of the jury people who come through.
Yeah. And you can see anyone. I just do not. I mean, I think the animosity towards Q is just too high. I don't think he can win.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Can he make it to the Final Tribal Council?
I think it's possible. Yeah. Because, like, you know, even Ben, who's so mad, who doesn't like him, is like, why am I going to spend a vote on him? I do think that there's a world where they're, you know, that character, at some point you're like, I don't want to just let them coast to the end. I don't want them in the end. Like, they're taking my seat if they're there. So I do think there's a world where, like, that's the next vote.
Okay. Ryan Irwin.
Like, I don't need to worry about them because they're not going to win. But, like, at some point you're like, enough.
Ryan Irwin asked us, do you think that people assume that taking out your number one ally is necessary considering the most iconic moves from 42 were Marianne taking out Omer and Jesse taking out Cody? They just saw 44 where Heidi, Carolyn, and Carson didn't turn on Jam Jam, their own number one ally, and he went on to win the game. I think Kenzie saw herself as the Carolyn to Tiffany's Jam Jam and wanted to give herself a better chance of winning. I was trying to figure out last night, like, where is, like, the, if there is this sort of idea that you have to vote out your number one ally to win the game, where is this coming from?
Yeah, I do think it probably is like Jesse. It probably is Marianne, you know, and we've seen people doing it in beyond just the winners, but those winners, you know, or Jesse, obviously didn't win, but you know, I do think
and Omer wasn't Marianne's number one.
Yeah, that's fair. But he was, you know, was right there. You know, he's like among her number ones.
I think Shannon Ricard is also part of it. And Ricard did not go on to win the game. So, yeah, it's definitely celebrated by the show.
But it also specifically this season, it seems to be like the metagame this season, right? Yeah. Where everyone is like, you know, Tevin votes out Soda. And then, you know, then people are voting. Then Liz votes out Tevin, you know? And so everyone is the fact that that becomes the dominant narrative. And that's what's so cool about Survivor is that every season gets to have like a different value system. And like I was saying, like, if that's your season's value system, then you have to respect it. You know, that's how you win is by honoring your, like, for second chance. Everyone was so into the idea of like, how did you maximize your second chance? Like, that was our story, you know? And Token Chains, even like, there was like, you know, Coach talks so much about like being a warrior and, you know, that infected the overall dynamic of how we talked about the show. And I think that ultimately every season probably has that.
Okay. people are going to be playing Survivor again in the next couple of months. That do you think that in the next iteration of Survivor that takes place in the next year is the better move to get the earlier jump on getting out your number one, or perhaps not do that, or third, don't have a number one?
Well, your argument of having multiple number ones is everyone's your number one. Every vote I make is a blind side.
Yeah.
My attitude is that at least until the end game, the tighter alliances you can have, the better. You just need to be the best liked in that alliance. you need to, just spread really like vicious gossip about your number one. Like, mm-hmm. we're voting together, but he is the worst. You know, mm-hmm. he hates puppies and cupcakes and yeah. Applebee's. We see that the most effective games are the ones where people are the closest.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously Charlie and Maria is a great example. The Jam Jam Alliance, Cody and Jesse were super effective when they were working together before they voted each other out. I mean, Shannon Ricard too. And then a lot of those groups have, I just think you don't want to be too soon, right? It's timing.
But just what's interesting is sort of like looking at how this season has played out. You have Tiffany, who was somebody who back in the pre-merge, we said, wow, what a great spot for Tiffany. She's got Q and Kenzie fighting over her, both being their number one. Cut to, we get to post-merge game, both of those people that were vying to be Tiffany's number one, both had separate plans to take out Tiffany.
Yeah.
That she did not know about.
Yeah. That's tough.
And then you look at somebody like Liz, who really has never had that number one in the game. And while she doesn't really have the inside track to get to the end, nobody has written her name down. And she does not seem to be a target for any upcoming votes.
But she's not a target because, she's like, in your tier system, she's not a player. And having a number one enables you to be a player, right? Mm-hmm. Like you have an ally and then you have more ability to impact votes. So you have more of an ability to create strategy according to like your perspective. And if you are isolated, then you can only like join someone else's plan for the most part. Mm-hmm. Although, as we discussed, Liz could have created like a brilliantly flashy spectacle today. Maybe, had she had Applebee's, maybe she would have had the wherewithal.
I feel like it's a chicken or the egg, not to bring up things that Liz is allergic to. But like, do you need to have number ones to be considered a threat?
I mean, I think you need to have a strategic impact on the season to be considered a threat. And the number one is...
Can you impact the season if you don't have number ones?
Well, sure. Of course. Yeah.
Who's sure. doing that? Who's impacting the season that doesn't have number ones?
Q.
Yeah, but people are using him as like his utility of like being able to control what has happened has expired at the point that he has no number ones.
Yeah, yeah. I think everyone in the game has multiple number ones, right? Like, I think that that's just the nature of the game. And when you lose those people, you lose your, like, Liz, we'll see, right? We'll see. But like Liz's problem was that she felt like she was getting overshadowed by her alliance. That's a really like hard spot to be in because then you vote out your alliance and you have nobody to work with.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Anything else on your plate from Survivor 46 last night?
Obviously the Jeff call out to audition was so funny. Great. So, Survivor stuff, it was so great.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Glad they included that.
Do you think that somebody had been sort of like on the fence about applying to Survivor, saw that commercial, like, all right, that's it. Like, get the phone. Let's do this.
Yeah. I the fact that they went with it, that they kept it, I thought was so great.
Yeah. It was the best one that they've ever done, but I'm not sure necessarily.
It only works because they've had the other ones.
Right. If that was the first time they ever heard apply for Survivor, sure. Sure. I don't know if this is the optimal time to apply for Survivor. I feel like they've got a lot of people already, and then they got
an all-star season. 49. It's like now it is. Now it's like you gotta like now your season. Like being on 49 is the best. You have like the best audition for 50.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right, Steven. Let me ask you about this. Tell me about this award that you have been selected for, Steven.
Oh, yeah. So truly a great honor. Like Story Magazine, I know you subscribe. They awarded me their annual Story Foundation Prize for a short story I wrote. I was really excited about that. Like truly like over the moon. And it was great.
Yeah.
Really, yeah.
Yeah, you posted on Twitter about this. Mm. And you said that you wrote a story based on some harebrained scheme that you and JT came up with.
Yeah, I don't want to give away what the scheme was because that would really ruin the plot of the story. But it's true. Like after the BP oil spill in 2008, JT and I told me that there was people were participating in the cleanup and making a lot of money because there was like just tremendous. So BP was like pouring money into the Gulf.
Mm-hmm. Because, would you say spilling money into the Gulf?
Yeah, exactly. And as to like facilitate the cleanup. And of course, like that money was not always finding its way into the most effective hands. And we thought, well, we have ineffective hands, why don't we take some of that money? Anyway, so it didn't end up working out for us, just because, well, for related reasons to what happens in the story.
No spoilers, please.
Yeah. Can't spoil that. So, when the issue is out, which will be this fall, I'll tweet about it again. So if you're looking for it, okay. I'll be honored.
That's really cool. Congratulations on that. Okay. Next week, I'm going to be in Chicago rubbing elbows with the Glitterati, pre-gaming, pre-gaming my butt off with all the survivors.
Have you been called? Did they call you?
Who? The survivors or?
Caitlin.
I haven't heard anything yet. I haven't heard anything yet, but I have picked up.
You hesitated.
No, I have picked up 4 or 5 offers to try to change my healthcare. Okay.
Would you go back?
You know what? I would consider it. But like, I think that the hardest thing for me would be that, Stephen, that what it would be fun to go on Survivor. No. But between you and me, just real talk, I don't think I have a great chance to win. And how much would it screw up? Like I've spent the last 14 years building this thing. And how much would it screw up what I'm doing here to go out to Fiji for 6 days to then get, unceremoniously booted, maybe do worse than I did in Survivor All-Stars?
I actually think you're in a better spot now because nobody wants to piss you off. I need my spot.
It's death by 1,000 paper cuts for anybody who does. Okay.
Yeah. Everyone wants to be on the podcast. They're like, I don't want to be blackballed from RHAP. And so they're not going to vote you out. Plus you're really.
Yeah. No deep dive for anybody who, or a medium dive.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. And you're super fit. You've been practicing your grip.
Yeah. My wife is going to do the exit interview also. Wow.
That would be fun. I would honestly I'm excited about that.
So
I think you've got a shot.
I would be very surprised. I think it's I think the odds are slim.
Yeah. And it's only a month, away. Nobody's going to judge you for going and screwing up. I mean, that's why I tell myself.
I mean, right now, if you told me I could get 12 days, on Survivor All-Stars, I'm wow, that's pretty good.
12 days? 12 days?
I made the merch. That's great. Yeah. Just missed the jury.
Yeah, exactly. I would not go. There's almost no scenario where the one scenario is if when I publish my novel, if it perfectly coincided and they were like, would you like to promote your novel on CBS primetime? I'd probably do it in that case. Mm-hmm. I don't think that's going to happen, but
26 days, you got to like that. That's shorter.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, it's harder.
How long did you go in Cambodia?
I think 20, almost a month. I think it was 29 days.
Oh, you would have, you see that you could have done that. You could have been, that was longer than New Era. Yeah, FYI.
I will say it's not like it's easy. It's not like those first 3 days are easy. The first 6 days, the worst starvation is by day 18. So they got that. I felt halfway point is the worst. So they're making it past day 18. I feel like it only gets easier after that.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Well, so I'm going to be in Chicago next week. So Shannon Gus is going to be live after the episode with Kelly Wentworth of Steven's one-time castmate from Survivor Cambodia. And you can check them out live at 9:45. Then on Thursday, I'll have the exit interview and then we'll air the show that we record in Chicago. It's going to be a big capacity crowd at the Athenaeum Theater in Chicago. And then after that, we will have on Friday. Stephen and I will get back together for some know-it-alls when I am back home to talk about the week that was in Survivor. Maybe Charlie got voted out, maybe Maria, maybe Q, or maybe something that's not even on our radar.
Kenzie? Is Kenzie a possibility?
I think it would be really hard to imagine the scenario where, like, what is the group? Are Charlie and Maria, like, leading? Charlie, Maria, Ben, and Q voting out Kenzie?
Yeah, I mean, that's what it would be. It would be Charlie, Maria, Ben, and Q are like, let's, you know, Kenzie's the last viable real threat here. Let's get rid of her.
Okay. I mean, I think it would be maybe the fourth or fifth most likely thing to happen, but we'll see. Yeah. Steven, people are asking for the fishy.
Let's go. Who do you think? Come on, this one's a straightforward one. Maria.
Yeah. I agree. What was James Jones saying last night? Give Q the fishy?
Well, Q deserve. I mean, I gave Q a lot of pre-merge fishies, which, I mean, you know, like two, I think. And you know, I don't regret those.
Big mistake. You shouldn't have done that.
I knew. Oh, okay. So, I mean, Q is, who did you used to say this about all the time? He is the straw that stirs the drink.
Who's the straw that stirs the drink? Was it Tony? No.
Maybe it was Tony. But Tony, I mean, like, I don't know. It could have been Tony.
Was it Cochran?
No, I think it was more, I don't think so. Anyway, someone knows.
The chat knows. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Anyway, so looking forward to being out in Chicago. Anything else coming up for you, Steven?
No, I don't think so. Am I forgetting to say something? No.
Was Penner the straw that stirs the drink?
I don't think so. Maybe. That was our first season.
What does that even mean?
I think it was like later. I kind of feel like it was like around Karamoan. Maybe it was Cochran that we were. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I honestly don't remember.
Okay. All right. Yeah. There you go.
Could it have been Reed?
I'm not sure. I don't believe so. Okay. Yeah. All right. So fishy count. We have this official fishy count. One for Liz, one for Tevin, three for Charlie. Wow. Yeah. One for Tiffany, one for Hunter, two for Q, and one for Maria. Actually, can I give you a little bit of a pet peeve, Steven? Okay.
Yeah.
So, you know, I see these Survivor players. Okay. Mm. Okay. If I may speak, the current cast, you could turn the podcast off. And I see them and they like post on Twitter. It's like, hey, great news, everybody. This Instagram account named me the best player of the week. Why does nobody ever tweet out like, hey, big news, everybody. I won the fishy award.
Yeah. What the heck? I think, that people used to. War Dog would throw a rager every time he got a fishy.
Right.
I mean, I miss War Dog.
These Instagram accounts that have like 10 followers and like, great news. Ben, you're the player of the week. Like, okay, wow. Can't believe it. But nobody ever gives that like, wow. I can't believe it. I won the fishy award.
This is an award going back to Survivor Samoa. Yeah.
I'll take the Sam. Get the social media team every week. Put it on Instagram. Congratulations to Maria for winning the Week 10 Fishy Award and tag her.
Yeah, good. Finally, some credit.
Yes. Okay.
Yeah. Good.
I want that by the end of the day.
Yeah, and really cool graphics.
Don't just. We're not half-assing this.
Yeah, yeah. Like exploding fishes or something.
Exploding
like that.
Fishes. Wow.
No, we can workshop that.
All right. Got it? All right. So looking forward to reading everything you have to say in the comments. Do you read the comments?
I do. I love the comments.
We love the comments. Okay.
Keep them coming. I read all the comments.
Yeah. So thank you so much. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.
Bye-bye.